Blog Talk Radio.
Another day. Grateful, thankful, and blessed as always to be with you this morning as we move forward in God's word. And the word that God gave me this morning is this: I choose to serve the Lord. Do you? I was like, okay, God, that's a good title. You know, kind of putting folks on front, but do you serve the Lord today? Or do you go out and have attitude? Do you serve the Lord today? Or do you go out or just sit and say, I don't feel like dealing with people today, so I'm just staying home. I don't feel like dealing with this. Don't feel like dealing with that. I'm speaking for myself. Been there, done that. I don't think I feel like going to church today. Same old stuff. Different day, you know, the choir, God knows, they try, but, you know, whatever, I think I'm special. It's gloomy and windy and rainy, and it, I don't feel like it, but I can tell you this, my service yesterday was on fire. It was on fire. The praise team was on fire. The pastor was on fire. It was just a awesome service. My pastor, I can say, she serves the Lord. You know, those that listen in the morning, I know y'all serve the Lord. Hallelujah. I can only say that God is good, and I'll choose him above everything else. I choose the Lord this morning. As Joshua said to the children of Israel, who do you choose? Who you choose? Choose you this day. Choose you this day. Who you serving? Who you going to serve? Are you going to serve the guys of TV, TikTok, Facebook, politics, all those things that mean absolutely nothing? Are you going to choose God today? Well, I'm going to choose God today. That's why I get up early in the morning. And I have to admit, today, God had to give me a reminder. Who do you choose? Because I'm an absolute news. I love reading, studying, wanting to know what's going on in the world. News person. Love the news. Listen to the news. But I do understand that nothing is more important than God. Nothing is more important than God. Put him first. Everything else falls into place. As many know, I have been working on taxes, the thing I hate the most. And I will tell you, then I think about it. And then, you know how God will put something in your mind to make you remember something. And what came in my mind is, what are your taxes for? And then I had to stop and take a minute and say, to pay for the roads, to help take care of the least among us, to keep us safe with the water we drink and the food we eat, the roads we travel, the country as a whole, what pays the military. Oh, okay. Then I had to shut up and take a moment to say, thank you, Lord, because taxes are for a reason. Tomorrow is tax day. God even gave us 3 extra days. Look at that. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, 3 extra days to get your taxes done. Did he have to? Absolutely not. But he did. So remember, when you start complaining like I do about those taxes and having to pay and, you know, paying all this money and giving all this money and I'll never get anything back. And guess what? God gave me something back. And I had to laugh because of the amount that it was. I said, okay, God, I got you. Yeah, you got my attention. Okay. You know, God will show you up and show you out. He will do it every time. And all you can say is thank you. You know, blessings upon blessings, grace upon grace, God will give you. So I just say thank you, Lord. And I will quit complaining about tax season, about what it's for. And so that gets me to that next word, tithing. You know, as we have taxes, we have tithes. Because Jesus said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and give to God what belongs to God. So you got to pay your tithes. And I am grateful that God has blessed me to be able to pay tithes. Because your tithes and your offering are important to God. You know, again, the lights in the church are not free. The gas in the church on a cool day and to heat it up, is the air conditioner on a cold day is not free. So God, hallelujah, wants us to pay tithes. And, you know, quiet as it's kept, most pastors do not depend on the church for their sustenance. Most have jobs, are retired, have had jobs, work jobs, and take care of the church. They have jobs and work. You know, back in my day, pastors lived in the parsonage. Nowadays, most pastors buy their own houses and leave the parsonages open to be used for community work, especially if they're right by the church. So understand, you're not buying the pastor a Mercedes Benz. You're not doing this or that. You're taking care of God's house. Choose this day, who will you serve? I choose to serve the Lord. Do you? Take care of his house by doing what you need to do to take care of your house. So let's get in the word this morning. Not trying to be preachy today, because the word will preach itself. All I have to do is read it. And I thank you again for joining me. Let's choose today, God. Let's take God with us wherever we go. Let your light shine, fam. Let that beautiful smile that all of you have, because I know most of you that listen in, not all. I don't know you guys in Canada, and I don't know you guys in Africa continent, because it just gives me the continent and not the cities. But I don't know all of you, but I thank you for listening in. And I thank God for those that are listening that are my friends. I thank God for you, my sisters, my brothers, all of you. God's in charge. And I am thankful to Dr. Charles Stanley for this magnificent Bible that we are reading this year, the Charles S. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. I also am coming out of a book that I found in a hospital. I found it in a hospital as I was going to pray for one of my very dear friends, God rest your soul, who was a prayer warrior, partner, a prayer warrior, and a mighty woman of God. And I just want to reach out and shout out to my friend Rona. God bless you. I know you're resting in his loving arms. And so I brought this 365 days of prayer, which we also use. And for those that have never heard of it, but when you see my posts on my Facebook, they are coming out of what is called YouVision. And I would suggest and hope that many of you will go out to YouVision and get the app. And it looks like a Bible when you put it on your phone. And the word for this morning, our scripture, is the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. God created everything. He loves us. He cares about us. And he wants the best for us. So just got to say, God is good. And so if you get opportunity, please get YouVersion. YouVersion is what it's called, not vision, but YouVersion. 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 Get that app for your Bible. You know, there are some days I just turn it on and listen. I listen, too. Listen to the Word of God. And it's wonderful. You know, there are days that, you know, you just need a word and you just turn on, put it on the Bible, put it on speaker, and just let it talk to you, you know, as you work. You know, get that word in. So let's get started. Father God in heaven, we thank you for this beautiful day that you have given us, God. We ask you, Lord God, to guide us and lead us and show us the way that you would want us to go, Father God. We choose you today, Lord God. We choose to serve you today, Lord God, in whatever capacity we can. We will serve you with our smile. We will serve you with our cheers. We will serve you with our thank yous, pleases. We will serve you, Lord God, with just being humble and kind. We will serve you, Lord God, in our coming in and our going out. We will serve you in our families. And, Lord God, we will serve you in our churches. Lord God, we will serve you in the midnight hour. And we will serve you in the morning light. We ask you, God, to lead and guide us in the way that you would have us go. And, Lord God, we ask you and we thank you to continue loving us, God, as we love you more than anything, God. And so, Father God, I lift this word up to you this morning, asking you, as always, Father God, increase as I decrease. Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you are my strength. I have to say it again. You are my strength. For the Holy Spirit, Lord God, you are my strength. And Lord Jesus, you are my redeemer. And in you, I can do nothing. Ask you, Lord God. I ask you, Christ Jesus, I ask your Holy Spirit, take control of this word today. Let it touch someone's heart, mind, and spirit. That if they do not know you, they will say, what must I do to be saved? But as for me and my house, Lord God, we choose to serve you in whatever capacity we can. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to the Most High as we move forward in the Word of God. And our word today, we are coming out of Joshua chapter 23 through 24. Chapter 24 is where our title word comes from this morning. We will also be coming out of Luke chapter 13, verses 23 through 35, which is another one of my very favorite scriptures. Trying to choose which one, but I know when I choose God, I choose the narrow way. Hallelujah. And you'll understand when we get to it. A long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies, around about that Joshua was old, advanced in age, and Joshua called for all Israel, their elders, for their heads, for their judges, for their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain to be inheritance for your tribes, from the Jordan with all the nations that I have cut off, as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight. So you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, and lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you. You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them, and you shall not serve them, nor bow down to them, but you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase a thousand. For the Lord your God is he who fights for you, as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you, not one word of them has failed. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things have gone you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land which the Lord your God has given you, when you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and little g's, and bowed down to them. Then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. God is not playing. He is not playing. He said, I will take everything if you don't act right. You choose who you're going to be with. Are you going to choose me, or are you going to choose idols? Are you going to choose these people? I'm telling you right now. Don't go with these folks. Don't be messing around with them. Don't go marrying into them. Don't do anything. They do not serve me. Get involved with these people. They will be a thorn in your eye. Told us that. He said what they would be. Scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes. Snares and traps He told them, don't be marrying into these folks. It's not going to be well with you. The Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Edomites, none of those folks. You don't need to be messing with them. Because they shall be snares and traps to you. Joshua 23 and 13 is the life lesson. Except for God tells us that we need to rid our lives of certain things. We are wise to obey. Bad things happen when we give the devil a foothold. It takes courage to obey God. And as his people, we need to encourage one another daily. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And, you know, we're going to go to a couple of other scriptures this morning. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 27. But we're going to go up to verse 26 first. It says that he might sanctify, let's go. It says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself as a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, the devil is doing his best, and I'm in Philippians. Not in Ephesians, I'm right. Philippians are after. Okay, I just want to make sure I was reading the right scripture, and I was not. I was reading verse chapter 5. I don't know what that was for, but that was for somebody out there to tell their husband, love your wife like Christ loved the church. But this is where we should be in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. But I need to go back a little bit. And we're going to go back to verse 22, and it says, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, after which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. But we are members of one another. Angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And this is where our word is coming from. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, and he may have to give to him that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace upon the hearer. We got to choose Jesus today. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. But again, we cannot give room to the devil. And when he talked about being deceitful, we talked about that, putting away all evil stuff. You know, you can't get involved with people doing dirty stuff. You got to stay away from those folks because they will pull you into their mess. And you don't want to get pulled into the mess of folks that are not doing what God says to. If you know folks are drinking and smoking and doing all kind of stuff, that's not where you need to go. You don't need to go around crazy people because folks get crazy when they get drinking. And then the next thing you know, everything is breaking loose because our inhibitions are gone and they say things and do things that are not of God. You know, and if they are supposed to be folks of God doing all this stuff, you know you better turn around and run. And this is what it says in Hebrews chapter 13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You know, and that is the word that we got today. You know, Dr. Stanley takes it very seriously. He said it takes courage to obey God. And as his people, we need to be encouraged, to encourage one another daily. Let any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Hebrews 3:13. You know, God is speaking to us this morning. He wants us to choose him today. Are you choosing God? Are you choosing the world? We have to choose God. And then it says, then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel at Shechem and called for the elders of Israel, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers. And they presented themselves before God, and Joshua said to all the people, thus is the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from the other side of the river, led him throughout all the land of Canaan, and multiplied his descendants, and gave him Isaac. To Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. To Esau I gave the mountains of Seir to possess. But Jacob and his children went down to Egypt. Also I sent Moses and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt. According to what I did among them, afterwards I brought you out. Then I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came to the sea. And the Egyptians pursued your fathers with chariots and horsemen to the Red Sea. So they cried out to the Lord. Darkness between you and the Egyptians brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes saw what I did in Egypt. Then you dwelt in the wilderness a long time. And I brought you into the land of the Amorites, who dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. And they fought with you, but I gave them into your hand, and you, that you might possess their land. And I destroyed them from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose to make war against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, he continued to bless you. So I delivered you out of his hands. Then you went over the Jordan and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you, also the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hittites, the Gershites, and the Havites and the Jebusites, but I delivered them into your hands. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you also, the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself whom you will serve, whether the gods, them little g's, which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods, the little g's, of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me, hallelujah, and my house, we will serve the Lord. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites, who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. But Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins, but if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now, therefore, he said, put away of foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and he took a large stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. So Joshua let the people depart, each to his own inheritance. Now it came to pass after these things that Joshua, son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him within the border of his inheritance at Timnah Serah, and which is in the mountains of Ephraim, on the north side of Mount Gash. Israel served the Lord all the days. I want y'all to catch this. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. The bones of Joseph, which the children of Israel had brought up out of Egypt, they buried at Shechem in the plot of ground which Jacob had brought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, which had become an inheritance of the children of Joseph. And Elijah, the son of Aaron, died. They buried him in a hill belonging to Phinehas, his son, which was given to him in the mountains of Ephraim. And just a couple of life lessons from Joshua 24 and 12. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Our sovereign God can use even wild creatures to bring about his will and bless his people. Nothing is beyond his control, and everything can be a mighty tool in his hand. All I got to say is, did he use the locust? Did he use the frogs? Yes, he did. God will use whatever he needs to use to get our attention. Joshua 24:24, the Lord our God will serve. The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. What a motto for success. When we make the Lord our own, choose to serve him, and open our eyes, our ears to hear his word and obey him, when our own promised land opens wide before us. Again, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Hallelujah. What a mighty word this morning. 1-9. To the chief musician, a psalm of the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all you people. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. He will subdue the peoples under us and the nations under our feet. He will choose our inheritance for us, the excellence of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have gathered together. The people of the great, of the God of Abraham. For the shield of the earth belongs to God. He is greatly exalted. Woo! Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Woo! Hallelujah. Psalms 47, the 47th Psalm, verse 7. God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. Are hymns better than praise songs? Are choruses superior to cantatas? We weary ourselves with foolish questions when we should be asking, am I growing in my understanding of God through my worship. You know, you got to put up your hands sometimes and just say, Lord God, my worship is for real. Oh, hallelujah. You know, when you think about all the things that God has done in your life, you know, and you start to, you know, that song we sang it on yesterday, Waymaker, Miracle Worker, Promise Keeper, Light in the Darkness, our God, that is who you are. You know, God heals our broken hearts, and we need to worship him. You know, we are, he's here moving in this place. I worship you. Are you worshiping God this morning? Are you giving God your hallelujah? Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Proverbs 14:14, the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways, but a good man will be satisfied from above. All I can say is thank you, God, for giving me understanding to understand how to do my taxes, how to help with taxes, and how to understand the law. I am not an accountant. I wanted to be until God said, nope, your major's changing. I was that struggling business major trying to get through calculus too. It was the hardest thing, and I barely made it. But I'm going to tell you, I did not do very well to the point that I was like, if I got to do it all this, ma'am, I am done with business. You know, understanding, I wanted to be an accountant. I wanted to deal with numbers. I just didn't like calculus. And so, couldn't get through it. Had got through calculus one. Had got through algebra, geometry. You know, no issue. Get to calculus. Should have been easy. Couldn't get through it. Too many things happened in my life. You know, my godmother died. And it was just too much. I tuned out on life for a minute. I thank God for a loving husband. You know, I was 22 years old, and dealing with death and dividing up stuff. And, you know, everybody saying that, you know, she wanted me to have this. She wanted me to have that. She wanted me to have this. And before long, you're overwhelmed, and you're too young to deal with it. Oh, God. God, my degree. God, good grace. Thanking God for it. Whew, thanking God for it. But he changed my major because this was going to be my future, communicating, speaking to people about his word, that he was already grooming me. I just didn't know it, to speak and to be bold in my speech. You know, in Toastmasters, you know, you're taught how to be able to give a speech quickly. You know, God teaches us how to teach his word that even the unsaved can understand it. So all I say is thank you, Lord, for giving me, gave me, for leading me where you guided me. I'm just grateful that God is in charge of my life. Who will you serve today? You know, do you want to serve God? Are you still got one foot in, one foot out, playing hopscotch with God? We got to not do so. We got to trust him. And as we go into our word, this is, this word does something to my spirit. And let's read it. And it says, then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. We talk about the narrow gate all the time. You know, for many will, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I don't know you, or I do not know you. Where you are from, then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where are you from? Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. They will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. You know, and I heard a pastor preach, you know, and he said, how will you feel that you have served the Lord all your life and you messed up? You messed up at the wrong time and you are going to hell. And the person who has been raising hell all their life, evil to the core, got saved in the last hour, and they are in heaven, and you are in hell. How will you feel? I thought, whoa, that's powerful. That's a powerful message, to know that you have worked for God all your life, and you stumble and you fail at the wrong time and didn't have time to repent. But the evil, contagious, misogynistic, been doing wrong all their life, had time to repent and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And they are in heaven. And you are in hell. On the last day, when you stand and you say, we ate and drank in your presence and you taught in our streets. But you will say, I tell you, I do not know you. Where you are from, depart from me, all the workers of iniquity. Woo, that would be rough. And it goes on to say, they will come from the east and the west, from the north and the south, and sit down in the kingdom of God. And indeed, there are last who will be first, and there are first who will be last. On that day, some Pharisees came saying to him, get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you. And he said to them, go tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow. And the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet shall perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. What a powerful word this morning. And I love what Dr. Stanley did. He gave us a life example for this word. And this is the narrow way. And he talks about, he says, however, Jesus completely refuted that idea. Let me go back up to say what the idea was. A martial artist, Marahi Yeshaba, once philosophized, and I'm probably not saying that word right, you know, philosophy. So he philosophized, there are many paths leading to the top of Mount Fuji. His statement reflected the idea that many people believe, which is that there are many ways to find God. And I think Oprah Winfrey was one of those folks that said this. Life is a journey, and people are free to choose their own path to the deity of their choice. What did our word tell us? There shall be no other God before me. Did it say that? Thou shalt not worship or bow down to them. What is a deity but a idol and a God that is not our God, right? So we should not be trying to choose a path to them. Because, however, Jesus completely refuted that idea in Luke 13 and 24. He said, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. In other words, there are people who will spend their entire life pursuing a deity that cannot save them and will not realize it until it is too late. It's a horrifying thought. So why do so many people think there is more than one way to find God? Generally, the belief that there is more than one path to God stems from the fact that in every society in the world, it doesn't make any difference how civilized or uncivilized, there are always people who believe in some kind of deity. Therefore, many anthropologists and sociologists reason that there is no one true religion. Everyone simply worships the deity which best reflects their environmental influences. Such scientists conclude that everyone is entitled to their own idea of God, including believing that there is no such thing as a supreme being. Unfortunately, that's human reasoning. It sounds logical, but the problem is that it is a complete contradiction to the way the one true God has provided for us to know him, John chapter 3, 16 through 18. And we know always God so loved us that he gave his only son. So why are there so many cultures with so many deities? Romans 1 and 20 explains. Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. People are without excuse knowing that God exists. That is why every culture has a concept of God. He's clearly seen throughout nature. However, it's not up to us to imagine who he is or to create him out of our own reasoning or culture. Rather, we must look to the way he revealed himself to us, which is through the person of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, people are sometimes offended when Christians say that Jesus Christ is the only way to God, because they say that God wouldn't exclude all the people who don't believe in Christ from heaven. However, their reasoning is completely wrong. It's not that the one true God is exclusive. In fact, he is completely inclusive. Jesus said in John 12 and 31, if I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. Jesus offers salvation to everyone. Jesus would never turn away anyone who puts their faith in him. Though life may be a journey, and though there may be a multitude of roads to the earthly Mount Fuji, there's only one way to God, and that's by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. John 14 and 6, Acts 4 and 12. Christ offers the only road that leads to salvation. Though the world may offer an abundance of choices, they'll never lead to what you're really looking for. Proverbs 14 and 12. The only right choice is the road God offers, and that is through Jesus Christ. Though that path is the narrow one, it's always wide open to you. Trust him. What we say on this show is we got to stay in our square. And in our square is Jesus. In our square is eternal life. In our square is the light of the Lord. In our square are the fruits of the Spirit. In our square is God. Hallelujah. And he is the light. He lights up for us. He is our Father, and we are his children. And this is our prayer for today, beauty in pain. In the same way, I will not cause pain without allowing someone new to be born, says the Lord. If I cause you the pain, I will not stop you from giving birth to your new nation, says your God. Isaiah 66 and 9, NCV. God of comfort, you meet me in the darkness of my pain. when it all seems too much to bear, you show up and lighten the load. Lord, take what is broken and make it whole in you. You are the master restorer. Take the agonizing pain of my grief and suffering and cause something beautiful to come out of it. In the midst of it, I can't imagine that it would even be worth it. Even so, I hold on to hope that this won't be in vain. I believe, Lord. Help me, help my unbelief. You are an expert at creating beauty out of messes. I wouldn't put it past you that this present suffering will produce something worth marveling at. Let it be so. Even when that thought doesn't bring me comfort, I will cling to you. Are with me right in the middle of my anguish. Can you see beauty that came out of pain, out of painful times in your life? And I can say, yes, I am. When my husband passed, that was the most painful time, besides the passing of my godmother and godfather. We have to thank God that he gives us grace, that he gives us love, that he gives us him. So keep trusting God and don't let anybody take his love from you. Take his grace from you. Choose you today who you will serve. Will you serve God or will you serve some little g? Will you trust in him or are you going to trust in the world? I choose to serve the Lord through you. It's a question that we have to ask and that we have to just stand on the promise of who you serve. And you serve God in today. Believe that he can make a way out of no way, that he is a miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. Our God, that is who he is. And we got to trust him and love him and know that he loves his best. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. That is all I have this morning. A word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, today is this. If you want to change your life for the better, change the way you look at things. If you have the mind of Christ, there are no limitations on improving yourself. Have a motivated Monday. So I say today, family, as Sister Carolyn so eloquently put, I got to read it again. If you want to change your life for the better, change the way you look at things. If you have the mind of Christ, there are no limits on improving yourself. Have a motivated Monday. So we're going to have a motivated Monday because we know that God is in control. Hallelujah. Thanking him today, praising him today, and knowing that he loves me, even when there's times I have a moment of not liking me at all. But God does, and all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for loving me, even in my mess, loving me in my good, loving me in my bad, loving me in my ugly. I thank you, Lord, for loving me. And I thank you all for listening in this morning and wonderful day. And again, get you version if you don't have that app, Bible app on your phone. Get it. If you're going through, they have lessons that you can do on a daily basis. And it's just a wonderful app to have. So do that out there. Again, not being paid. But I just want you all to know that I love God and I love you. There's not much you can do about it, but love God with me. And as we pray out, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other in Jesus' name. I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are a child of God. and he loves you more than anything. Have a great day, family. Have a motivated Monday, as my sister in Christ says. So we're going to have a motivated Monday, praising God, thanking God, and walking in his light. Have a great day. It's a wrap.